The meaning of Bodhisattva. Subhuti. With regard to what the Lord has said in speaking of Bodhisattva, what is meant by the word Bodhisattva? The Lord. Nothing real is meant by the word Bodhisattva, because a Bodhisattva trains himself in non-attachment to all dharmas. For the Bodhisattva, the great being, awakes in non-attachment to full enlightenment in the sense that he understands all dharmas. Because he has enlightenment as his aim, an enlightenment being, Bodhisattva, a great being, is so called. The meaning of great being. Subhuti. Again, when the Lord speaks of a Bodhisattva as a great being, for what reason is a Bodhisattva called a great being? The Lord. A Bodhisattva is called a great being in the sense that he will cause a great mass and collection of beings to achieve the highest. Sariputra. It is clear also to me in what sense a Bodhisattva is called a great being. The Lord. Then make it clear what you think now. Sariputra. A Bodhisattva is called a great being in the sense that he will demonstrate Dharma so that the great errors should be forsaken. Such erroneous views as the assumption of a self, a being, a living soul, a person, of becoming, of not becoming, of annihilation, of eternity, of individuality, etc. Subhuti. It is clear also to me in what sense a Bodhisattva is called a great being. The Lord. Then make it clear what you think now. Subhuti. A Bodhisattva is called a great being if he remains unattached to and uninvolved in the thought of enlightenment, the thought of all knowledge, the thought of outflows, the unequaled thought, the thought which equals the unequaled, unshared by any of the disciples or Pratyeka Buddhas. Because that thought of all knowledge is itself without outflows and unincluded in the empirical world. And in respect of that thought of all knowledge which is without outflows and unincluded, he remains unattached and uninvolved. In that sense does a Bodhisattva come to be styled a great being. Sariputra. For what reason is he unattached even to that thought and uninvolved in it? Subhuti. Because it is no thought. Sariputra. Is that thought which is no thought something which is? Subhuti. Does there exist or can one apprehend in this state of absence of thought either a there is or a there is not? Sariputra. No, not that. Subhuti. Then how can the Venerable Sariputra say, is that thought which is no thought something which is? Sariputra. Well do you expound this, you whom the Lord has announced as the foremost of those who dwell in peace. Thereupon the Venerable Purna, son of Maitrayani, said to the Lord, great being, one who is so called, armed with the great armor, is that being. He sets out in the great vehicle, is mounted on the great vehicle. That is why he comes to be styled a great being. Subhuti. How great is that which entitles him to be called armed with the great armor? The Lord. Here the Bodhisattva, the great being, thinks thus. Countless beings should I lead to nirvana, and yet there are none who lead to nirvana or who should be led to it. However many beings he may lead to nirvana, yet there is not any being that has been led to nirvana, nor that has led others to it. For such is the true nature of dharmas. Seeing their nature is illusory. Just as if, Subhuti, a clever magician or magician's apprentice were to conjure up at the crossroads a great crowd of people and then make them vanish again. What do you think, Subhuti? Was anyone killed by anyone, or murdered, or destroyed, or made to vanish? Subhuti. No, indeed, Lord. The Lord. Even so, a bodhisattva, a great being, leads countless beings to nirvana, and yet there is not any being that has been led to nirvana, nor that has led others to it. To hear this exposition without fear, that is the great thing which entitles the bodhisattva to be known as armed with the great armor. Subhuti. As I understand the meaning of the Lord's teaching, as certainly not armed with an armor should this bodhisattva, this great being, be known. The Lord. So it is. For all knowledge is not made, not unmade, not affected. Those beings also, for whose sake he is armed with the great armor, are not made, not unmade, not affected. Subhuti. So it is, for form, etc., is neither bound nor freed. And that is true also of the suchness of form, the suchness of feeling, etc. Purna. But what then is that form of which you say that it is neither bound nor freed, and what is that suchness of form, etc.? Subhuti. The form of an illusory man is neither bound nor freed. The suchness of the form of an illusory man is neither bound nor freed, because in reality it is not there at all, because it is isolated, because it is unproduced. This is the great armor, the great non-armor of a bodhisattva, a great being, who is armed with the great armor, who has set out in the great vehicle, who has mounted on the great vehicle. After these words, the Venerable Purna was silent. The meaning of great vehicle. Subhuti. It is thus, O Lord, that a bodhisattva, a great being, is armed with the great armor and becomes one who has set out in the great vehicle, who has mounted on the great vehicle. But what is that great vehicle? How should one know the one who has set out in it? From whence will it go forth and whither? Who has set out in it? Where will it stand? Who will go forth by means of this great vehicle? The Lord. Great vehicle, that is a synonym of immeasurableness. Immeasurable means infinitude. By means of the perfections has a bodhisattva set out in it. From the triple world it will go forth. It is set out to where there is no objective support. It will be a bodhisattva, a great being, who will go forth, but he will not go forth to anywhere, nor has anyone set out in it. It will not stand anywhere, but it will stand on all knowledge, by way of taking its stand nowhere. And finally, by means of this great vehicle, no one goes forth, no one has gone forth, no one will go forth. Because neither of these dharmas, he who would go forth and that by which he would go forth, exist, nor can they be got at. Since all dharmas do not exist, what dharma could go forth by what dharma? It is thus, Subhuti, that a bodhisattva, a great being, is armed with the great armor and has mounted on the great vehicle. Subhuti, the Lord speaks of the great vehicle. Surpassing the world with its gods, men, and asuras, that vehicle will go forth. For it is the same as space, and exceedingly great. As in space, so in this vehicle there is room for immeasurable and incalculable beings. So is this the great vehicle of the bodhisattvas, the great beings. One cannot see its coming or going, and its abiding does not exist. Thus, one cannot get at the beginning of this great vehicle, nor at its end, nor at its middle. But it is self-identical everywhere. Therefore, one speaks of a great vehicle. The Lord. Well said, Subhuti. So it is. It is thus that this is the great vehicle of the bodhisattvas, the great beings. Trained therein, bodhisattvas do reach all knowledge, have reached it, will reach it. Purna. This elder Subhuti, when asked about perfect wisdom, fancies that the great vehicle is something that can be pointed out. Subhuti. Have I, O Lord, spoken of the great vehicle without transgressing against perfect wisdom? The Lord. You have. In agreement with perfect wisdom, you point out the great vehicle. Attainment. Subhuti. Through the Buddha's might, O Lord. Moreover, O Lord, a bodhisattva who sets out on his journey does not approach the goal of full Buddhahood from where it begins, nor where it ends, nor in the middle either. Because a bodhisattva is as boundless as form, etc., is boundless. He does not approach the idea that a bodhisattva is form, etc. That also does not exist and is not apprehended. Thus, in each and every way, I do not get at any of the dharmas which constitute a bodhisattva. I do not see that dharma which the word bodhisattva denotes. Perfect wisdom also I neither see nor get at. All knowledge also I neither see nor get at. Since in each and every way I neither apprehend nor see that dharma, what dharma should I instruct and admonish, through what dharma, in what dharma? Buddha, bodhisattva, perfect wisdom, all these are mere words, and what they denote is something uncreated. It is as with the self. Although we speak of a self, yet absolutely the self is something uncreated. Since, therefore, all dharmas are without own being, what is that form, etc., which cannot be seized, and which is something uncreated? Thus the fact that all dharmas are without own being is the same as the fact that they are uncreated. But the non-creation of all dharmas differs from those dharmas themselves. How shall I instruct and admonish a non-creation in perfect wisdom, which is also a non-creation? And yet one cannot apprehend as other than uncreated all the dharmas, be they those which constitute a Buddha or a Bodhisattva, or him who marches to enlightenment. If a bodhisattva, when this is being taught, is not afraid, then one should know that this bodhisattva, this great being, courses in perfect wisdom, develops it, investigates it, and meditates on it. Because at the time a bodhisattva investigates these dharmas in perfect wisdom, at that time he does not approach form, etc., nor go to it, nor does he review the production of form, etc., nor its stopping. For the non-production of form, etc., is not form, etc. The non-passing away of form, etc., is not form, etc. Non-production and form are therefore not two, nor divided. Not passing away and form, etc., are therefore not two, not divided. Inasmuch as one calls it form, etc., one makes account of what is not two. Thus the bodhisattva investigates in perfect wisdom all dharmas in all their modes, and at that time he does not approach form, etc. Sariputra. As I understand the teaching of the Venerable Subhuti, a bodhisattva also is a non-production. But if a bodhisattva is a non-production, how then does he go on the difficult pilgrimage? And how can he possibly endure the experience of those sufferings which he is said to undergo for the sake of beings? Subhuti. I do not look for a bodhisattva who goes on the difficult pilgrimage. In any case, one who courses in the perception of difficulties is not a bodhisattva, because one who has generated a perception of difficulties is unable to work the wheel of countless beings. On the contrary, he forms the notion of ease. He forms the notion that all beings, whether men or women, are his parents and children, and thus he goes on the pilgrimage of a bodhisattva. A bodhisattva should therefore identify all beings with his parents or children, yes, even with his own self, like this. As I myself want to be quite free from all sufferings, just so all beings want to be quite free from all sufferings. In addition, with regard to all beings, one should form the notion, I ought not to desert all these beings. I ought to set them free from the quite measureless heap of sufferings. And I should not produce toward them a thought of hate, even though I might be dismembered 100 times. It is thus that a bodhisattva should lift up his heart. When he dwells as one whose heart is such, then he will neither course nor dwell as one who perceives difficulties. And further, a bodhisattva should produce the thought that, as in each and every way a self does not exist and is not got at, so in each and every way all dharmas do not exist and are not got at. He should apply this notion to all dharmas, inside and outside. When he dwells as one whose heart is such, then he will neither course nor dwell as one who perceives difficulties. But when the Venerable Sariputra said that a non-production is the bodhisattva, indeed it is so, a non-production is the bodhisattva. Sariputra. Further, is just a bodhisattva a non-production, or the dharmas also which constitute him? Subhuti. The dharmas which constitute a bodhisattva are also a non-production. Sariputra. Are just the dharmas which constitute a bodhisattva a non-production, or also the state of all knowledge? Subhuti. the state of all knowledge is also a non-production. Sariputra. Is just the state of all knowledge a non-production, or also the dharmas which constitute it? Subhuti. The dharmas which constitute all knowledge are also a non-production. Sariputra. Are just the dharmas which constitute all knowledge a non-production, or also the common people? Subhuti. The common people are also a non-production. Sariputra. Are just the common people a non-production, or also the dharmas which constitute them? Subhuti. The dharmas which constitute the common people are also a non-production. Sariputra. If, Venerable Subhuti, the Bodhisattva is a non-production, and also the dharmas which constitute him, and also the state of all knowledge, and also the dharmas which constitute it, and also the common people, and also the dharmas which constitute them, then surely the state of all knowledge is reached by a Bodhisattva without any exertion? Subhuti. I do not wish for the attainment of an unproduced dharma, for the reunion with one. Further, does one attain an unproduced attainment through an unproduced dharma? Sariputra. Is then an unproduced attainment attained through an unproduced dharma, or through a produced dharma? Subhuti. Is then an unproduced dharma produced, or is it unproduced? Sariputra. Is then production a dharma which is a non-production, or is non-production a dharma which is production? Subhuti. To talk of a production dharma as a non-production dharma is not intelligible. Sariputra. To talk of non-production is also not intelligible. Subhuti. Non-production is just talk. Non-production just appears before the mind's eye. Non-production is just a flash in the mind. Absolutely, it is nothing more than that. Sariputra. In the first rank of the preachers of Dharma should the Venerable Subhuti be placed. For in whatever way he may be questioned, he finds a way out. He does not swerve from the correct teaching about the true nature of Dharma, and he does not contradict that true nature of Dharma. Subhuti. This is the Lord's absolute, the essence of the disciples who are without support, so that in whatever way they are questioned, they find a way out. Do not contradict the true nature of dharmas, nor depart from it, and that because they do not rely on any dharmas. Sariputra. Well said, Subhuti. And what is that perfection of the bodhisattvas which allows them not to lean on any dharmas? Subhuti. The perfection of wisdom, beneficial to all three vehicles, is also the perfection which allows them not to lean on any dharma, because it shows that all dharmas have no support and can therefore give none. For if a bodhisattva, when this deep perfection of wisdom is being taught, remains unafraid, then one should know that he has adjusted himself to the perfection of wisdom, and that he is not lacking in this attention to the true facts about Dharma. Sariputra. How is it that a bodhisattva does not lack in attention when he is adjusted to perfect wisdom? For if a bodhisattva is not lacking in attention, then he should automatically lack in adjustment to the perfection of wisdom. And if he does not lack in adjustment to the perfection of wisdom, then he would be lacking in attention. But if, in a bodhisattva, the two facts that he is not lacking in attention and that he is not lacking in dwelling in the perfection of wisdom belong together, then all beings also will not be lacking in dwelling in the perfection of wisdom, because they also dwell not lacking in attention. Subhuti. Well said, and yet I must reprove you. Although the Venerable Sariputra has taken hold of the matter correctly, as far as the words are concerned. Because one should know that attention is without own being, in the same way in which beings are without own being. That attention has no real existence in the same way in which beings have no real existence. That attention is isolated in the same way in which beings are isolated. That attention is unthinkable in the same way that beings are unthinkable. That acts of mental attention do not undergo the process which leads to enlightenment in the same way in which beings do not undergo that process. That acts of attention do not in any real sense undergo the process which leads to enlightenment any more than beings do. It is through an attention of such character that I wish that a bodhisattva, a great being, may dwell in this dwelling.